The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. This is the first Monday of the new year and it's probably the first day that people are actually getting back to a regular schedule for 2025. You know, you have those 2 weeks in there of holidays and things are different. Obviously, during the holidays for people's schedules and the kids are out of school and now kids are back in school this week. And so this is kind of back to a regular week. We told our church yesterday, you know, everything is back to normal starting today. And so I hope that you did have a great holiday season, and I hope that you're having a great start to 2025. Now, I like to, at our church, always like to have a theme for the year. Hey, this is our theme. This is what we're going to really kind of hold on to as God's word to us, so to speak. And my friend Chris Schroeder, he likes to have a word for the year for his life, and so I have a phrase for our church every year. Last year was the truth in love from Ephesians chapter 4. Speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up into all aspects into Him. And this year, it is strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. You know, that is the command, be strong and courageous, that God gave to Joshua when Joshua took over for Moses. And God didn't just tell him once, be strong and courageous. He told him 3 times in 9 verses. And before that, Moses had told him twice, Joshua, I'm commissioning you. You take over after I'm gone. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And then the people in Joshua chapter 1, they tell Joshua, we will follow you. Only be strong and courageous. I love that. And so that word to Joshua, I believe, is God's word to you and to me in this new year. Be strong and be courageous. Now, the dictionary defines courage in this way. It is the ability to do something that frightens you. It is strength in the face of pain or grief or danger. That is courage. And Joshua needed to be courageous, and you and I need to be courageous. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great poet of yesteryear, said this, whatever you do, you need courage. Whatever course you decide upon, there is always someone to tell you that you're wrong. There are always difficulties arising that tempt you to believe your critics are right. To map out a course of action and follow it to an end requires some of the same courage that a soldier needs. Peace has its victories, but it takes brave men and women to win them. So, how are you doing in the courage department these days? You know, if you're like most people, if you're like most Christians, courage is an area that you say, yeah, I struggle with courage. I mean, think about something just as simple as witnessing to a neighbor, a friend, a family member, somebody you meet in the store, somebody who's serving you maybe at a restaurant, and you want to talk to them about Jesus, and you feel that fear come into your heart. And the question is, what's going to win? Am I going to step out in faith and speak a word for the Savior, or am I going to cower in fear? And the sad reality is many times in those situations, fear trumps our faith. And so God wants it to be where faith trumps our fears. I learned a long time ago in my Christian life when I was in seminary, Dale Thompson came and spoke to our spoke at our chapel at Southeastern Seminary when I was there, and Paige Patterson was the president. And he said this, and I've never forgotten it. He was talking about David and Goliath, and he said, you know, when David went out on the battlefield to face Goliath, he asked us this question. He said, do you think David was afraid? Well, we naturally think, well, no, he wasn't afraid at all. And he said, you got to remember that Goliath is 9 feet 9 inches tall. He's got all this armor. He's got a shield carrier that walks before him. He's the champion of the Philistines. He's been a champion, as Saul told David. He's been a champion from his youth, and you're just a youth. David's a 15-year-old kid, peach fuzz on his chin. He's got a sling and a stick and 5 rocks in his pouch. He said, of course he was afraid. He's human. Fear's okay. Here's his statement. Fear's okay as long as your faith is greater than your fear. So I posed this question to our church yesterday. How can you step up in faith and not retreat in fear on a daily basis in 2025? We used the passage in Joshua chapter 1, because it's a great passage when you're going to kick off a sermon series about being strong and courageous, when you're going to kick off a theme about being strong and courageous, because out of the lips of God, he tells Joshua 3 times, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous, be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:9 is a passage that many people have tucked away in their hearts, and they repeat it often. Have I not commanded you, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, let me pose the question again. How can you step up in faith and not retreat in fear? Because fear is something that is going to constantly come knocking on the door. And even godly, godly people, Darlene Dibler-Rose and her testimony, she was a great missionary in Indonesia during World War II and experienced extreme atrocities by the hands of the Japanese Imperial Army. Well, she dealt with fear, and she said it was on her like a heavy coat. And she said she almost lost her mind because of fear, and she had to deal with that fear. She had to learn to give that fear to the Lord and overcome that fear with faith. So how can that be true for you? Well, I want to give you 3 steps to help you walk in faith and not retreat in fear, to help you be strong and courageous in whatever circumstances you find yourself in where you need to trust the Lord and not cower away in the circumstances. So the first step is this: accurately assess your situation. I mean, just soberly look in the mirror, soberly look at the situation. Don't try and sugarcoat it. Don't try and say, well, I'm going to pretend this doesn't exist. Don't throw a sheet over it. Accurately assess what's going on. This is what the Lord told Moses, or told Joshua. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. God is very direct, very straightforward. Moses has died. And they grieved for Moses for the appointed time. But listen, God buries his workers. He doesn't bury his work. Just because Moses died, Moses, the great deliverer, doesn't mean that God's plan has stopped. Oh, we can't do anything now. Moses is dead. No. It's like with Isaiah chapter 6. You read Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, King Uzziah had been king for 52 years. Isaiah said, in the year of his death, I saw the Lord seated on his throne. I mean, the king is dead, but the real king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's alive forevermore. He never dies. And so God buries his workers, but he never buries his work. And so you accurately assess this situation. I love this quote I ran across from William Tecumseh Sherman. He was general of the Union Army. He said this: I would define true courage to be a perfect sensibility of the measure of danger and a mental willingness to endure it. You have to know what you're going up against, and you have to be sober-minded as it relates to that. Now, with Joshua, Joshua had lost Moses. Well, the people had lost Moses. Moses was the deliverer. He's the one that God chose in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush, and he brought him back from the wilderness and brought him to Egypt to say to Pharaoh, go up against Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Yahweh, let my people go. And he went toe-to-toe with Pharaoh and performed many miracles God did through Moses. And Moses is the one that God spoke with face to face. Moses is a larger than life character. And Joshua was the servant of Moses. He attended to Moses. He was very close to Moses. Moses was Joshua's mentor. He was his leader. He was his role model. He was his friend. Joshua, when Moses passed away, Joshua lost so much in Moses' passing. But now he has to assume the mantle of leadership. That's not easy to do, to step into those shoes. This is what the Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 34, the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy that speaks of Moses' death. And it says this, since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. For all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants and all his land, and for all the mighty power and for all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Moses is someone special, and you have to follow him. So as Joshua looks over the situation, he's like, okay, I got to take over after Moses. I got to step into these shoes of leadership that Moses left behind. Those are gigantic shoes to fill. You know, I think about college football and following different coaches. I watched a 30 for 30 the other day on Pete Carroll and the USC Trojans. You know, when Pete Carroll came to USC, they had been floundering for years. The coach, they had gone through a series of coaches, and all those guys just seemed to go about 500. Well, when Pete Carroll came on board, he took off with the team. They had one year where it was just about 500 in terms of their record, and then everything just started to go to the stratosphere. I mean, he created a dynasty in college football. They almost won the national championship 3 years straight. They got beat by UT in the last seconds in the 2006 national championship game. But Pete Carroll followed a guy named Paul Hackett. Most people don't know about Paul Hackett. Paul Hackett was coached there for 3 years, I believe, and he was, I think he was running right about 500. He won 19 games and lost 18 games, so no big deal. Well, when you follow Paul Hackett, there's like no place to go but up. But how about the guy that follows Nick Saban? You know, when Nick Saban retired from college football, I mean, he's the legendary coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. I mean, there's nowhere to go but down, because nobody can conceive of having a better winning streak and a national presence and build more of a powerhouse than Nick Saban built at Alabama. There's just kind of one way to go as the new coach of Alabama, and that is down. Well, Joshua had to follow Moses. That is huge. So that is overwhelming. Joshua had to lead the people. The people aren't easy to lead, as he saw firsthand with Moses. Now, the people are prone to grumbling, griping, complaining, being faithless. The old generation that died in the wilderness, they're always wanting, we need to go back to Egypt, we can't do this. And then you have to fight, you have to go into the land, you have to fight the giants. Joshua was one of the 12 spies, along with Caleb, who had faith, but he knew that there were giants in the land. He knew that there were cities that were fortified. He knew that it was not going to be easy. The task is always going to be much greater than your capabilities. That's okay. And as you accurately assess the situation that you're facing here in 2025, the task will force you to see your great need for God. God, I can't do this in and of myself. You have to do it through me. And unless you do it through me, it won't get done. And that's what the Lord says. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about courage. Be strong and courageous in this new year.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about being courageous. Be strong and courageous, God told Joshua. It's a great word for us as we begin a full week of 2025. You're going to face challenges. I'm going to face challenges. Challenges are a part of life. How do you face those challenges? Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and we don't walk by fear or cower in fear or retreat in fear. And what the Lord said to Joshua three times in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, is a good word for us today. And so we said, how can we do it? How can we step up to the plate? How can we get out of the boat, so to speak, and walk on the water with Jesus? Because the truth of the matter is, that is the exciting walk of faith. And you're safer on the water with Jesus than you are in the boat without him. And so we need to be willing to step out in faith. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive him? You received him by grace through faith. How do you live the Christian life? By grace through faith. You don't focus on circumstances. You assess the circumstances, but you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So we said in the first segment, Joshua, he had to assess his situation. What am I looking at? Well, I'm following Moses. That's not easy to do by any stretch of the imagination. I'm leading the people. That's not easy to do. God says to you, and cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them to the sons of Israel, and you're going to have to go conquer the land. So he had a big challenge before him. And the Lord told him, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Not I will give it to you, but I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. You shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So Joshua, he had to trust the Lord. He had to trust the promises of God. He had to trust that God was going to be with him. And God was going to be with him in a very powerful way, because he says, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Now, it's very obvious God was with Moses. God was with Moses to do great things. I mean, the plagues that came on Egypt came through Moses, and through the lips of Moses, through the staff, the rod of God, as it's called in the King James. God did great things, and people revered Moses. People feared Moses. Remember, Moses was the one who spoke to God face to face, and the skin of his face would shine because of the glory of God. And the Lord says to Joshua, I'm going to be with you just like I was with him, in great might, in great power. Now, in the New Testament, we have a promise from God, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, that comes directly, it's a quote, from Joshua 1:5. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's what he himself has said to us. And in the Greek, it's even strengthened versus what God said to Joshua in the Hebrew. Because in the Greek, there are five negatives in Hebrews 13:5. I will not, never, never fail you. I will not, never forsake you. Not, never, never, not, never. Five negatives in that statement. Now, you know, in English, if you use a double negative, you're in school and you write, I will not, never go to the store. The teacher would mark you down for that and say, you don't say that. You say, I will never go to the store. I will not go to the store. But you don't use not, never. It's a double negative. Double negatives, triple negatives, that's terrible in English, but it's great in theology because it's just such a strong statement from God. And the Amplified, if you ever read the Amplified Bible, this is how the Amplified translates Hebrews 13:5. God says, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. And we can rest in that. Joshua rested in the fact that the Lord promised, I will be with you. And so, as it says, listen to it again, Hebrews 13:5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? What can man do to me? Because he has said this, that he will be with us and never loosen his grip on us and never desert us, never drop us in the grease. We can confidently say, hey, in any situation, the Lord is with me. And he's going to help me, and I don't need to be afraid. What was the question we began the program with? How can you, in this new year, step up in faith and not retreat in fear? Well, you can trust God with all your heart. You can trust his word. And when you do that, and when you believe, and truly believe in your heart, that what he promised, he will fulfill. He promised to be with you just as he was with Moses. He promised never to leave you and not forsake you and not fail you. Okay, well then I can do anything. So I can be strong and courageous. I can do what he's called me to do. And that's what he says. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And so that's a response of faith. All right, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to be courageous. Now, remember, this is so true. Fear begets fear, and courage begets courage. You know, when people are starting to fear, fear is contagious. And if the leader fears, then the people start to fear. That's why the COVID situation was such a blight on the church, because Christians whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we don't need to fear death. So many of them were cowering in their homes. Oh, I'm not going to get out. I can't see anybody. I can't do anything. I'm just going to, you know, hide under my bed and tremble because a big bad COVID may get me. I didn't understand that at all. I'm going to stay away from people. I'm going to wear a mask, two masks, three masks, four masks, whatever it is. I'm going to get this shot and then another shot and another shot and another shot. And the shots are worse than the disease, as the evidence is showing. Safe and effective. It wasn't safe. It wasn't effective. And but we shouldn't have been afraid. We should have been the light on a hill, saying, hey, we don't need to fear. God's in control. I know we're not going to be stupid. I used to tell my church during the height of the COVID pandemic, listen, I'm not afraid of COVID, but that doesn't mean I'm shaking everybody's hands and licking my palms. You know, I'm going to be smart about it, but I'm not going to be afraid of it. We don't need to fear. The Lord is with us. Fear begets fear, but courage begets courage. I love this quote from Billy Graham. He said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. And so we need to be courageous. We need to let people know, hey, my eternity is secure. I'm not afraid. You know, and if fear comes in my heart, I'm not going to let that dominate. I'm not going to let that conquer. As I said before, David went out on the battlefield to face Goliath. Did he have some fear? Probably, yes. That's okay. He's human. But fear did not win out. His faith conquered his fear. And then what did God tell Joshua? So what he tells us today, he says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, which my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Hey, how are you going to have success? How are you going to prosper in this new year? How are you going to rise above and take the challenge that is before you? Because God is going to put challenges before you. How are you going to respond to those in faith and not in fear? Well, you have to be a student of the book. You have to spend time in the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. You read other books, but the Word of God reads you. And as the Bible says of itself in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active. King James, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And we need to spend time in the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God. Literally, God breathes. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us. We need to spend time in the book. We need to be students of the book. And we don't need to let it depart from our mouth. I love that. From your mouth. Because Jesus told the devil when he says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's from God's mouth to our mouth. We speak the word. We read it and we meditate on it and we have it in our mouth and we speak it about ourselves. It's important to do that, to meditate on the word and to let God's word come out of your mouth and to encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed forth from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, as we speak to others, we need to speak words that build up, not words that tear down. But as we speak to ourselves, we need to speak words that build ourselves up in the Lord, not tear ourselves down in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's important for us to remember who we are in Jesus, because the enemy works overtime to tell you you're a nothing. You'll never amount to anything. You can't do anything. You can't walk. You can't obey God. You can't walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You're never going to succeed. You're a failure. You're a mess up. You know, all those things. God can't forgive you. You remember what you did. God knows what you did. God can't forgive you. You need to quit going to church. You need to quit pretending. All those things that the devil tries to get, he barks at us to try and get us to quit. Hey, David went on the battlefield with Goliath, and Goliath cursed him by his gods. And Goliath tried to intimidate him, and he said, come to me, little boy. I'm going to break you up in little pieces and feed you to the pigeons, to try and ramp up the intimidation and ramp up the rhetoric to get him to retreat in fear. That's how the devil works. Well, we need to be strong and courageous. We need to speak the truth in our hearts and to know that as we obey God, he will bless us. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success, the Lord says. Now, success is not the way the world counts it. Success with the Lord. It's not the way the world evaluates it. You know, what does the world say? You're successful if you have a lot of money. You're successful if you earn a bunch of degrees, educational degrees. You're successful if you have fame and fortune and power on earth. Success in God's sight is being faithful. What does the Lord say? What is the greatest commendation that any Christian can have? It's at the end of his life, the end of her life. Well done, my good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. To be faithful, to obey him, to do what he says. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do the things that I say. Hey, God wants us to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Now, I don't know what you're facing, but the Lord knows. He knows everything about you. You know what you're facing. You know the health issues. You know the family challenges that are there. You know the financial challenges. You know the marital problems and the family struggles and the problems maybe you have with your next door neighbors, and it's just becoming such an issue. God knows all that. You know what you're facing. Look soberly at the situation and turn it over to the Lord and trust him and say, God, I'm going to walk in your ways in this situation. I'm not going to cower in fear. I'm going to be strong and courageous. I'm going to have that conversation with that person that's going to be so difficult that I put off and put off and put off, but I need to have it. Listen, you can be courageous as you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I have this question for you. What is the most courageous thing that you've ever done? Because your courage can help somebody else. Fear begets fear, and faith begets faith. And so I would love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you can share the most courageous thing you've ever done in a very brief time so that we can hear from many, that would be wonderful. Give me a call, 888-589-8840. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about courage. As God told Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as we face this new year, we need to be strong and courageous. I think one of the things that many people admire about President Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, who will be inaugurated on January 20th, is that he has courage. He stands up. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking, like that old Timex commercial. We admire that. He has tenacity, and he doesn't quit. And that's the way we need to be as believers. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep following the Lord. We're going to keep opening our mouth. We're going to keep shining. We're going to keep sharing. We're going to keep making a difference until the Lord takes us home. Yes, we're going to be wise about it. Be shrewd as serpents, Jesus said, and innocent as doves. But we're not going to be people of fear. We're going to be people of courage and bravery. We're going to be strong and courageous. Now, I ended the last segment with asking the question, what's the most courageous thing you've ever done? And think about it in terms of this, a get out of the boat experience. And so like in your Christian life, what was something God called you to do that you were very afraid to do, but you did get out of the boat and you said, yes, Lord, I will do it. Now for me, the most courageous thing I ever did was resign my job with a wife and three kids, a high-paying job, a good job, and say, Lord, you've called me to preach, and so I'm going to leave this job behind. I'm going to sell my house. I'm going to pack up my all my belongings and my wife and my children, and we're going to move across the country to North Carolina to attend seminary at Southeastern Seminary, and I'm going to trust you because I believe you're calling me to do this. And where God guides, he provides. And God provided for us every step of the way. But it took courage, and I had to trust the Lord. And I had to say, okay, Lord, I don't see how you're going to how we're going to make ends meet, but I'm trusting you because you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who provides. So if you would like, I would love for you to share with our listeners, with all of us, your story of getting out of the boat. 888-589-8840. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I get out of the moment happened when I was 4 years old. I had a bully next door who was about 10 years older than me. He took my dog from my front yard, let the dog out to go, and they had a roll-off container dumpster in their driveway. The older boy put my dog in that container and locked the door, and I could hear my dog crying, and it just made me so scared. And I thought, well, even if it kills me, I'm going to go get that dog, because my parents weren't home. So I waited until him and his buddy walked away from that dumpster and went back in the house, and then I quickly ran around and undid the latch and got my dog out. And it sets a pace for you in life when you realize, okay, you get that extreme fear moment where your blood is pumping and your head is about to explode with all the pressure. But when you trust that in something greater than yourself, I didn't know God at the time, but I just thought, God, let me get my dog out because it was crying in the dumpster. And all the challenges in life, going through L.A. County Jail, getting jumped by six gang members and fighting them off, that wasn't even as scary because I had the skill. I had the development of going first through that get out of the boat moment. And right now, even fighting against the state of California, the corrupt Lannerman Regional Center system that's kidnapped my son, drugged him.
Yeah. Well, Ron, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you sharing. And as we stand up in faith, as we trust the Lord, we keep our eyes fixed on Him. We see God do great and mighty things. And it doesn't always. Stephen stood up. Stephen was a man of courage, and Stephen got stoned to death. It doesn't always end the way we would think. Oh, this storybook ending. James got killed in Acts chapter 12, and Peter got delivered. That's God's business. Our business is to remain faithful to Him. We have Jeff on the line from North Carolina. Jeff, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning. Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share, in 2017, following God's leading in my life and my son's, we're both Army veterans, we felt led to bring awareness to veteran suicide and set out on a journey, my son Logan Hastings, myself Jeff Hastings, to kayak the entire length of the Mississippi River. Never having kayaked before, 2,381 miles.
Wow.
And it was a journey of of God's strength and his faithfulness in our lives. And I'm telling you, we met incredible people from this great country of ours who love God and support military veterans and first responders. And through that process, now we run a ministry called Warrior 180 Foundation, where we provide support to those folks who are faithfully serving our country and communities, and through the love of Jesus Christ, and know that God is faithful and moving and working on the hearts of those folks.
Amen. Well, very good, Jeff. Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate you calling in today. Appreciate you listening to the program. And, you know, the fear begets fear and faith begets faith. Courage begets courage. As we step up to those things that God's called us to do, we strengthen other people. As that Billy Graham quote says, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. So I appreciate you sharing that. So if you have a story of courage, and so my friend Dennis Rainey from Family Life Ministries, that was his icebreaker. When he would sit at a table for dinner or something like that, he'd be with a group of people. He would always say, "Tell me the most courageous thing you've ever done." And he was just all ears. He just wanted to hear. It's a great question because it causes us to think back. And a lot of people say, "Well, I don't think I've ever done anything very courageous." But as you think back over your life, especially on the spiritual markers, it's like, well, what has God called you to do where you stepped up? It might just be something like, you know, I was called to teach a Sunday school class at church, and I was so nervous, and I didn't want to do it. But I knew the Lord wanted me to do this, and the Lord had opened this door, and I just said, I don't know if I can do it. I get somebody else. You know, that's what Moses did when the Lord came to him at the burning bush. If you read the account in Exodus 4, the Lord said, "Well, send the message by someone else." And God wasn't going to do it. God wasn't going to take no for an answer. Moses tried and tried to get out from under it because he was so afraid. Isn't it interesting in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents? The guy with one talent that buried it in the ground, he told the master why he did it. He said, "Because I believed that you were an exacting man, you were very difficult, you reap where you don't sow, and you're impossible to please, and I was afraid, so I buried it in the ground." I was afraid. And listen, you have to ask yourself, you have to be honest enough to say, okay, am I not stepping out in faith because of fear? I like that old statement that said, fear knocked at the door, faith answered, and no one was there. Fear is false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. And we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what God has said, not by what we see. It's important to see the landscape, to know this is what I'm up against, but now my eyes are on you. Because as big as Goliath was in comparison to David, he was a pimple on a flea compared to God. And David had his eyes fixed on the Lord. Well, thanks for calling, Jeff. We have Greg on the line from New York. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, brother, thank you so much for your ministry. Really enjoy your show. Listen as often as I can.
Thank you.
So when your comment about just being strengthened by those around you who are strong, God called me several years ago to go and assist with rescuing babies at the abortion mill.
Mm-hmm.
Very intimidating at first, I got to admit. I mean, there was definitely some, I felt fear in doing that. And as I got around those who were more experienced than I, and just seeing their boldness, it certainly, I found great encouragement and strength there. But also when, you know, a baby is saved, wow, when you see the hand of God move in those moments. And I think that's where God moves probably the most profoundly, is on the front lines of ministry, hard ministry like that. So mm-hmm. I just, your statement just really rings true in my ears from my own personal experience, and I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Well, thank you for your service, Greg, and I appreciate you sharing that, calling in, listening to the program. And you're exactly right. Hey, as we said, it's okay to feel the fear. You just don't let fear win. And so everybody gets afraid. I get afraid if I'm on an airplane and I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus. I feel the fear. And, you know, what if he says this or says that? I'm not going to be able to answer the question or whatever. We have all those thoughts that come into our minds. It's all from the enemy that wants to keep you locked down in fear. And so we just say, okay, I feel that fear, but I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. And whether it's successful in the world's eyes or a failure in the world's eyes, that doesn't matter. I need to be obedient to the Lord. I need to be faithful to the Lord. As I said, Stephen stood up, preached a great message, and was stoned for it. And as what he said before he died was, I see the Son of Man, Jesus, standing at the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus gave him a standing ovation for his faithfulness, for his witness, and for the fact that Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, speaking of the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's what Stephen's life stood for. He had given his life to Jesus. He was going to be faithful all the way to the grave, and that pleases the Lord. And so, however God wants your life to count for him, maybe it counts in a long life and in a long ministry. Maybe it counts in just a short life and a short ministry. John the Baptist didn't have a long ministry, but he had a very powerful ministry. Jesus said of John the Baptist, of those born of women, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. And so, you know, we look at things and we say, well, wouldn't it have been better if John had lived a long life? Wouldn't it have been better if Stephen had lived a long life? Think about all the people that he could have reached by God's power through him because he was such a faithful vessel. Wouldn't it have been better if God had delivered Paul and he lived to be, you know, almost 100 years old as John lived to be? Those are all God's decisions. And the Lord does what he does because he is God. He sees the end from the beginning, and he knows what he's doing. And his ways are unsearchable. They don't make sense to us. That's okay. That's okay. God knows. We don't know. You know, I've used this illustration a lot. I think about it with my, you know, in my own life. When you hit something in life that you don't understand, and you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, help me to understand this. I don't understand why this happened, why that happened, why you took this loved one away. And we come with our little teacup minds to the Pacific Ocean. God's understanding is vast. You can't see the end of it. And we say, God, here's my little teacup. Fill the Pacific Ocean into my teacup so I can understand what you did. And the Lord says, oh, that's not possible. You don't have the capacity to understand why I did what I did. So why don't you just trust me? Trust me. That is really, and you boil the Bible down to just two words. It is those two words. Trust me. Trust me. And how do we get saved? We put our faith and trust in Jesus. How do we walk with the Lord? We put our faith and trust in Jesus. We just trust him. And it's a grace and faith process all the way to glory. And for those who trust him in this life, we will experience him forever and ever and ever. And his servants will see his face. And we will know, 1 Corinthians 13, as we are known, and it will make sense to us, and we will all say in heaven, Lord, you did all things well, because he is the perfect God who never makes a mistake. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And as you start out this Monday of the brand new year, 2025, remember, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So whatever challenge you have, whatever thing that is on the horizon that incites or bumps bubbles fear up in your heart, just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and know that what he's called you to do, he will see you through. Shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.